Esposito, host of Wham Bam Pow. This is a movie show, a podcast about action and sci-fi flicks. We are just sharing some fight stories before the taping began. A couple of us have gotten into some fights. Ricky has been defeated in fight.
I have been defeated in fight.
But you're still a young man.
I still have many more defeats ahead of me.
Once we put you through that aggressive lumber lifting training regimen that I plan on dropping you off in a Russian forest.
Ooh, I like where this is going.
I'm gonna get you real snapped up. You'll be into shape. You'll be back in there before you know it.
Nice. What a good Russian Rocky beard.
Yes, yes. Also, I should welcome our panelists to the show. Always a pleasure to have them. That was Mr. Ricky Carmona.
What it do?
I don't know if you could hear him through his implicit beard, his training beard. Have you ever had a beard? Can you grow
I can't grow a beard. I can only grow the mustache.
I mean, you have a beautiful mustache.
Oh, come on, girl. Yeah. My name's Ricky. I can only do this, that, and here. I can't do all of this.
You know
I can't
what?
Do the side
Why
cheek.
Would you wreck those beautiful cheeks?
Oh, come on
Why'd
now.
Why would you cover that up with hair when they're so perfect already?
Nickname in grammar school, Chubby Cheeks. True story.
Seriously?
For real. I used to be a very hairy. I used to be a very heavy kid in grammar school, and I had like
And you're
big
like
ass
a
cheeks.
slender adult.
Well, I run a lot.
Yeah.
You know,
watch what you eat. I know. You eat healthy. I know. We tried to have Ricky over, and we brought chips for him, and he like brought his own banana. Like, girls, I brought my own banana. It's like, shoot.
I drank your whiskey, though.
Yeah.
So that's what's up.
Correct. Also on the show, the person that I bought those chips with, the two of us brought the chips together, the Lady James Dean, Ms. Rhea Butcher. How are you doing today, Rhea?
I'm fantastic. We share chips.
Yeah, we share chips. We share.
Equal chip.
Yep.
I'm pretty good. I didn't get in a fight today, so
no.
It feels pretty good,
no,
you know?
Well, you work from home.
Yeah.
And I'm the only other person that works from that home.
Yeah, I mean, sometimes fisticuffs.
Okay.
we can take that out.
No,
Furniture starts flying.
No, that stays in. Well, today we're going to talk about some movie news. We're going to talk about our hopes and dreams. We're going to talk about a movie that made me the person I am today. And we're also going to give you a review of the movie Bad Boys.
What you gonna do?
That'll be at the very end of the show. So please watch along with us. It is currently available on Netflix Watch Instant. Also, I want to just say up top, thank you so much for everybody that's been rating and reviewing the show on iTunes. If you're listening and you haven't had a chance to yet, please do leave a rating or a review on iTunes. It helps other people find the show. So it's really important to us and it really means a lot to us. I also want to thank listeners Douglas and Gabe, who have sent us packages here at Max Fun headquarters. Rhea got some rad Back to the Future novelizations.
We all got three.
A bunch of Doritos.
Tidal.
So thank you so much for sending those. That really, what a Dorito day, you know?
You know who likes free shit? We do.
We love
we really,
free shit.
Really do.
And we're going to start the show with some movie news. So guys, just something that I'm just going to tell you. Christopher Nolan is in talks to direct the next Bond.
Oh, no.
Do you know this? did you guys know this?
No, I've been saying
I've heard that. I read about this.
I'm so bummed.
Are you guys not into that?
I hate Christopher Nolan.
Whoa!
I think he's so predictable. Oh, it's
I think it'll
terrible.
Be interesting.
It's dark.
I just know that she hates him.
Wow. He's not my favorite. I don't think he's terrible. I don't. That's one of those things where it's like, to me, that's just like a name they might be using to get us excited that, hey, you like that last Bond movie. Guess what could be happening with the next one?
Yeah, I just felt like what made Skyfall so great was the simplicity of that movie. It was very simple. It was bare bones. It was back to like a very classy Bond. I mean, they finally got it. They struck the right chord of like Daniel Craig is so handsome and then his car is so classic and then it's such a, there's so many different deep-seated like fears and family trauma, all this like very classic stuff. And I mean, the reason I don't like Christopher Nolan is that it really fell off for me after Inception. I really think Inception was like way overblown. I thought the movie was terrible, actually. I thought it was a very beautiful movie, but like a really bad plot.
Huh.
So
he like that Leo's character in that, especially like in that scene where they're like in the snow shooting at each other towards the end. That's when I was like, I could see this being a James Bond movie. And I think
it
I
looks
talked
like
to my
James
buddy.
Bond.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, it
I
looks
talked to my buddy about it like afterwards.
From Bond,
it looks
that,
like, yeah, like
the
this
snow,
might be him.
That snow scene totally does.
Right, totally.
But also, I mean, I guess maybe the other thing is just, I don't know. Please tell me they're gonna keep Leonardo DiCaprio away from that franchise, though, right?
Yeah,
right? They're not
I
gonna
see him using him as a villain.
Oh, come on! Just
he's a good villain, though.
He's
did you not
villain.
Just enjoy him in Django?
I did,
come on.
But I feel like that's because finally it was the intersection of Tarantino, and also, by the way, may I say I used to hate that guy too. So
yeah, so there you go.
There's always room for change.
There's always room for
change. I think Christopher Nolan does a pretty good job with an existing property. Because say what you will about Dark Knight and stuff, purposely dark. But I feel like maybe if he just brings a little bit of Inception and Memento to Bond, it could be a really, you know, psychological Bond.
So, okay.
I don't know.
Well, we'll wait and see, and we'll probably review it. Also, assuming that we have this podcast in 2016, or whenever that Bond movie
yeah.
comes out.
Who knows?
Go Hillary.
Also, yeah, go Hillary. Also, this made me excited, because I guess one of my other issues with Christopher Nolan is that I'm sick of seeing his style because so many other people have copied him. So maybe that's not really his fault. It's just he's gotten into all of our subconscious, all of our unconscious. And then inside of our unconscious, there was
another
unconscious.
Level.
And then there was another.
I think
another
he just level. Incepted you.
Yeah, he has. Everybody is making Inception movies of Inception. I mean, even Iron Man 3 is a really good example to me of somebody that was kind of copying his style. But anyway, so I say all this to say that they are making a Crouching Tiger 2.
Oh, I thought you were going to say remake for a second. It really scared the crap out of me.
No, they're making Crouching Tiger Hidden Dragon 2, subtitle Green Destiny. I'm excited about it because I'm ready to see something that isn't Nolan inspired. I'm just ready to see a break from it. Maybe I'd be ready to see his Bond if I could see somebody not doing his stuff. And I feel like those movies, that whole like floating kind of matrixy,
yeah.
wires, all that stuff that was popular for a while.
Women.
I'd love to see, yeah, women.
Women whooping that ass in that movie.
Women
whooping
in
that
the
ass
movie.
In that movie.
Yeah, absolutely.
I read that as well. Yeah, I got excited about all the technical sides of it. Like, oh, cool. Yes, it'd be great to see that choreography again. And another guy who did the choreography on it is, I think, going to direct it. But then it was one of those things where, like, do I need a sequel? Do we need a sequel to Crouching Tiger? That's a pretty close to perfect movie.
It is. You're right. I mean, there's a lot to mess up. There's a lot to fuck up.
Yeah, yeah.
Very...
It can ruin everything before that
and
if this movie's not
all
good.
All the performances are great. It's just across the board, like, just well acted, and it's beautifully. But I guess what I'm saying is, like, maybe just putting that, even if we have to sacrifice that franchise for with a less good two, like, let's say it's a decent two. That still, to me, could reset what's going on in action movies right now, which is just, I'm sick of seeing the same stuff. I feel like that movie will have to be a little bit different. Here's something that has nothing to do with that. So, also, Ricky, you saw Star Trek Into Darkness.
See?
We haven't seen it yet.
We have not seen it yet.
But we will be
I'll tell you everything.
It.
First this happens, then this happens, then this happens, and he plays this guy.
But we will be reviewing it in 2 weeks. We're off next week for Memorial Day weekend. But just to give you guys, I just thought this was interesting. So first of all, that movie was predicted to do very well at the box office. The first Star Trek did better than expectations, so they thought this would do better than that. And it only in its opening weekend did 80 million-ish. Now that sounds like, I know it's weird to say only, but Iron Man 3 did 175 million domestic in its opening weekend. So we're talking about $100 million different. Iron Man 3.
That's crazy.
Second biggest opening weekend outside of Avengers, which is the biggest opening weekend. So that's those two movies, which I feel like as people that are interested in action sci-fi films, we probably felt like we were getting the same amount of exposure to those things. At least I felt like I was. Same amount of product placement, same
Absolutely.
Amount of
Definitely.
You know, billboards, all that stuff. $100 million difference. That is fascinating to me.
It made $80 million this weekend, and they're saying that that's not a lot of money. That's funny.
Do you think that people were more interested in seeing Iron Man 3 in like IMAX and 3D than Star Trek, perhaps? Because like that could be part of the box office.
I think Iron Man and the Avengers is still fresh in our minds as well. We're still kind of writing the coattails of the Avengers. I mean, Robert Downey Jr.
Oh, that's a good point. So you think it's been just maybe too long of a gap between the first
Star Trek and J.J. Abrams, Star Trek was like his first big hit.
Yeah.
So when I saw how much money it made, I was like, yeah, it seems right. You're making your money back. There you go.
Still an interesting difference, again, because they were really so close to each other and with such a similar PR presence to have $100 million difference. And then also another little sign. This is the last thing that we're saying in movie news. This is great. So I don't know if you guys have seen the footage on this, and I don't think I've talked about this on the show, so stop me if I have. So there is a Canadian dude who took a model of the Enterprise, the J.J. Abrams Enterprise.
Oh, yes.
And he in collaboration with a weather balloon company, launched that Enterprise into space with a little camera on it. So it's the first footage of an actual Enterprise in space. And you can see it. It's amazing. It's on YouTube. It also doesn't have that many views for what it is. Like, it's adorable.
It's pretty great.
Made a little Canadian space project in his little backyard, and he launched a balloon up, and then it's just a long cut of the Enterprise floating through, like, above the clouds.
Oh, yeah, and all this. Awesome.
It looks rad. And you know what? In this time of special effects being computer generated, it was beautiful to see somebody do something that is ingenious. It fucking looks like it looks awesome, even on your phone. So look this up. It is going to rock your world. And that is it for movie news. We will be back with more after this. And we are back. We hope you enjoyed those guitar licks. We are getting back to that segment that made us the show we are. We're getting back to Pitch It. And that is the segment of the show where an idea for a sequel, prequel, or reboot of an existing movie is brought to film executives who will decide whether or not to fund that project. Today, I will be the film executive. Why the singular executive? Because we're doing another Ricky Rhea face-off, a dueling Pitch It, to see which of the two will have their movie funded and go down in history, make a lot of money, $80 million or $175 million. We're not sure yet. Pretty excited about it. Slurpees.
Slurpees. Slurpees is the prize here. Did I hear this correctly?
I just always think about summer action movie blockbusters and how they always make like themed Slurpees.
Absolutely.
I think it's like the funniest and best.
Who gets the Slurpee?
Like, who even gets a Slurpee anymore? But it rocks my world. I love it.
I get them on a free Slurpee day every 7-Eleven.
There's a free Slurpee day.
July 11th, you get a free Slurpee.
Oh my God, I wonder why.
It's a little teensy Slurpee.
Yeah.
You had that go-to in the mental Rolodex, July 11th.
I'm ready to go.
7 a.m. Pacific time.
All right, so you guys ready to pitch it?
Yep.
Please step into my office then.
It's going to be a lovely office here.
Yeah, it is. Well, don't mess with the leather. It is fake. It's made of a bunch of pleather jackets. I sewed it together and I stuffed it with actual real leather. So. Great to see you guys. Which one of you would like to pitch first? And there is a right answer.
I'll go first.
Okay, great. That was the right answer. Rhea, I like your attitude. I like your can-do attitude.
Thank you.
By the way, you look great in a suit.
Thanks. It's pleather. I stuffed it myself.
Yeah.
Okay, so I'd like to just give you a couple, just some lines of some thoughts here of my movie that I'd like to pitch. So first off, director, Francis Ford Coppola.
Oh my God, he makes great wine.
Yeah, really good wine.
He makes good
great
wine.
Great Cabernet.
Yeah. Second best wine besides Paul Newman.
Paul Newman's pretty good.
Great wine. Great salsa, great wine.
The color of Merlot.
Yeah.
The soundtrack will be Daft Punk.
Do those guys even know each other? It feels like that would be
They do now.
Okay.
They're right next to each other in my Rolodex. Uh-huh. So. Now, the two stars of this movie are going to be Kristen Schaal and Harrison Ford.
Wait a minute. Okay, already I love it. I personally huge fan of Kristen's work. She's a nice gal. I want to see her. Is it going to be romantic between those two?
Not at all. This is going to be a coworker kind of a relationship.
Thank God, because that guy's too old for her.
Cut to the chase, and I'll tell you what this movie is.
Yes.
Pigs in space.
Pigs in space!
Into pigness.
I'm sorry, pardon me.
What are your thoughts?
First of all, I am happier than I've ever been in any single pitch.
Would you say you were a pig in a substance that quite possibly makes you feel happy?
I am a pig in a substance that quite possibly makes me feel happy.
That's great.
I'm a pig in a Slurpee. You know what I mean? Just flopping around in a Slurpee, happy as hell. I understand now why you said Kristen Schaal.
Yeah.
That makes a lot of sense.
Yes.
Okay. Puppets are live action. I mean, obviously live action. What I mean is, like, are they humans with pig noses? Are they Muppets?
I'm thinking Muppet CGI.
Ooh. I'm actually gonna...
Oh, no!
I like what you brought in, but Muppet CGI is never gonna be the right answer. I'll let you just sit on that for a second, and we're gonna pop over to Ricky. Oh. If you have I'll come back to you if you have a closing, like a theme line or something, or like a product tie-in, or if you can think of any other things that are better than Muppet CGI, because that right there, that was terrible.
Very offended.
Ricky Carmona, what is your pitch it?
First of all, I love everything that you've done in the office as well. The pleather couches are.
Thank you so much.
Fantastic.
Have you met my assistant? She's silent.
Hi, how you doing, silent? My name is Ricky. Now, what I'd like to do is pitch a movie to you and then shake your hand on the night that we win the Academy Awards.
Okay.
Because that's what's going to happen. I will tell you who is starring in this movie. Jesse Eisenberg and Leonardo DiCaprio. This movie is directed by David Fincher. The soundtrack to this movie is by the RZA. And the name of this movie is Eye Club. The first rule of Eye Club is everything is aight. The second rule of Eye Club is everything is aight. The third rule of Eye Club is aight. Aight. This movie will tell the story about how we, society, needs to come to terms with overusing the word best thing ever.
Oh,
sometimes,
sure.
Things are just aight, and that's okay. And these groups are formed where being aight is accepted. It gets a little crazy at one point.
So this is interesting because already I'm just to spitball back at
you. Sure.
Seems like there's a TV spinoff just looking right at us.
There could be.
Aight week ever. Seems like it could really
that's absolutely,
you know, give a lot of talking heads some work.
I know I'm not on stage right. Aight week whatever.
Okay, that's pretty good. However, you weren't on stage.
We're not on stage at all.
No, there's a stage in my office.
It's a lovely
Ricky's
stage,
on the stage.
By the way. Thank you.
I'm sorry.
It's good to be up here. And that's the movie that I have to you. I don't want to bog you down. There will be a love interest in this. We've all seen Fight Club, which this is based on. There is a love triangle between Edward Norton and Brad Pitt and Helena Bonham Carter. I haven't figured out who I want yet in the Helena Bonham Carter role. I am a fan of Amy Adams, so she always pops into my head. I just watched Star Trek Into Darkness.
Can I suggest Kristen Schaal?
Actually, you know what?
She'd be great.
Kristen Schaal's not bad. She might be a little too, like, silly. She might bring a little too much silly baggage from off screen onto it.
We've never seen her play a fucked up woman that gets, you know,
yes.
That really gets to you.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
We haven't seen her be dirty,
so
physically
maybe,
dirty.
Maybe she could do that.
I think there's a lot that these projects have a lot in common.
If you can get her on the phone, if we can have a meeting with
her. You said Star Trek Into Darkness, there was one more gal in there that spoke to you?
Zoe Saldana.
Oh, she's speaking a lot of things. That girl's fantastic.
Yeah, yeah.
Now, okay, Rhea, I just want to kick it back to you for one more second. Do you have any final thoughts? Because that was a great pitch. And I'm about to decide, and there's a lot of money on the table. Just a ton.
My movie does not require a lot of money. I want to keep the griminess of Fight Club.
Okay. So there, you know, that grime does cost money.
Grime does. It is David Fincher.
It's
I just confirmed this with my agent on the phone, so I think this might bring
Were you talking to your agent, or was your manager talking to your agent?
No, my manager was talking to my agent. My agent
talked to the casting director and booked you?
And then they sent me an etch-a-sketch of the confirmation that Anne Hathaway is on board to do a song in Pigs in Space into Pigness. So I don't know if that's changed your tune at all.
Okay. First of all, just tell me that it's going to be Real Muppets.
Real Muppets.
Because it's got to be Real Muppets.
It's Real Muppets.
Okay. Ricky, I appreciate what you brought in today, and I don't want to waste any more of your goddamn time because I'm going with Pigs in Space.
All right.
Pigs in Space is a fantastic idea. It does need a reboot. Kristen Schaal, literally the perfect person to star in it. I do like what you're saying with Harrison Ford. I also feel like there's some other opportunities for other people to be involved. Maybe like a Tom Wilson. I could see him in that. There's just a lot of different things we could bring up. So
absolutely.
I appreciate everybody's time today. Ricky, if you'd like to come on board and see if the RZA wants to record this Anne Hathaway song.
I have him under contract forever with me. I'm sorry.
Okay. All right. Okay. Well, we will be back with more after this.
Hi, I'm Home Essential Brian Safi.
And I'm Erin Gibson, and we host a show on Max Fun
called Throwing Shade.
Here's what we do.
Okay.
It's amazing.
Well, I wanted to say it.
Well,
let me go.
Okay.
It's about a gay man.
And a gay woman.
Oh, well, you're not gay.
Oh, a straight woman.
Yeah.
I forget.
And we go through women and gay issues and treat them with much less respect than they deserve.
And I'm not going to lie to you. Sometimes we drink when we do it. But it's always fun. It's always informative.
It's very informal. And you can wear boxers or briefs.
Subscribe for free in iTunes or go to MaximumFun.org.
Well, now is a part of the show that we call Movies That Made Us. For the last couple of weeks, Rhea and Ricky both brought in movies that made them the movie watchers that they are today. And today, I am doing it. And it is a movie from my childhood. Now, in my childhood, I was very close with my older sister. We're just 3 years apart. And we watched most of our movies together. And some of the movies that we watched when we were kids, Dirty Dancing and Clue and Mannequin, those were all like huge deals to me. Fucking Mannequin to the end. To the end. Also, Clue, still a great movie. But the movie that I brought in to talk about today is something that I think, so I don't love comedies. Typically, I'm not a comedy movie lover. Did grow up watching a lot of Jim Carrey movies and love the shit out of those. But this is pre-Jim Carrey. This is what made my taste in comedy. And it is going to be The Princess Bride.
Ooh.
Now, The Princess Bride is an awesome movie for kids because it does not talk down to kids. In fact, there is a kid, there is baby Fred Savage in that movie talking to Columbo, telling him that he better keep on track. None of this overly sexy stuff. He better stay the course. He better stop being boring. I love that there's a kid in this movie to stand in for kids. Also, it is mildly scary. It is mildly violent. It is super funny without ever being cheesy or dumb. It's also an adult's movie, but it's just like this great, it's this thing that they did in the 80s where they made movies for like tweens or for kids, but that were real. Like none of this bullshit that exists now.
And also not these, like, hyper real, where it's like way too intense for kids.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's the opposite of Twilight.
Right.
Like, it's just like, hey, we don't need to get this sexy because we're children.
Right.
And also, like, some of the best, I mean, that cast in that movie. I mean, we could just talk about Wallace Shawn all day. Like, my dad still thinks that that is the funniest movie that's ever been made. And my dad is not wrong. That man's constantly telling me how inconceivable things are. He's constantly doing the like marriage thing where he's like, love, twoo. Yeah. Or Billy Crystal is in this fucking movie.
Yeah.
And Mandy Patinkin is in this movie. I mean, geez, I can't even. Carol Kane.
Andre the Giant.
Robin Wright.
And they have amazingly smart banter. All of the characters talking to each other, treat each other. It's like, it is a Game of Thrones that is not scary or without boobs. Although it could have boobs because you're right. Robin Wright is sent from heaven.
Yeah, she is. Yeah, she is.
And I love the relationship between her and Cary Elwes. It's just like sweet and perfect. I remember I wanted to be him. And with his little black pants on that are so slimming.
Little mustache. So how did that make you, like, how did that affect how you watch movies?
I just feel like it's a smart movie and it's an adventure story. And all of those are the things I still like. The only thing that's strange about it is that it's, like, really funny and I don't usually love movies. But I think all of the jokes are really unexpected. It's not about, like, oh, crazy night of drinking. It's, like, about torture.
Yeah.
And how funny that could be. And
this was a time when it was, you had to watch movies on VHS as well.
Yes.
So how many times did you rewind this movie and
I mean,
watch it?
So many times, right? Like, that is...
Absolutely.
I could actually, I think I could tell you all the, you know what is crazy about VHS movies that you owned? That you can, have you guys recently, because Rhea and I saw one not that long ago, we were watching, we did that John Hughes Day.
Yes.
And all of the previews on those movies, like, do you remember when, because it was on VHS, you had to watch from the, like, first preview, and that felt like part of the movie?
Oh, yeah, oh, yeah.
And you were like, yeah, she's having a baby! And then, like, that seems like, for some reason, it's part of the film. But I just think, like, everything I love about this movie, also the, there's practical effects in this movie. The rodents of unusual size are like giant puppet rats that look rad and still look rad. There's like quicksand and actual danger, but it's not overly scary. I just can't tell you how much I think this is a perfect movie.
It's amazing. Written, do you remember who wrote it?
I don't even know who wrote it.
He's like a Hollywood, like, legend.
I know.
I want to say it's like William. I think it's like William Goldwyn or something like that. But yeah, it's. And I think that echoes to what you were saying. Is like how, like, it was just an intelligent movie for kids. That's not like animated. You know, it's like, no, this is all real. Everything here is all from the imagination brought to life.
And I think the use of character actors in this movie is another thing that, like, starting that appreciation young, because there's nobody mm-hmm. that's wasted. Even the small parts are, like, beautifully costumed, and everybody's nailing the shit out of their lines. Fucking Christopher Guest is in this movie.
Yeah, yeah.
Nailing his, like, teeny part as the six-fingered man. What were you going to say, Rhea?
Oh, I was going to say, I think I remember seeing this for the first time. I don't know why I didn't see this when I was really young. I saw it when I was, like, 8 or 9, and somebody, like, put it on at a slumber party. And I just remember everybody else being like, oh, yeah, of course. Like, it was background noise. And I just went, what? And, like, just watched the whole thing. I wasn't paying attention to anybody playing Hands Down or, like, Connect Four or anything like
Absolutely.
That. I did not care. I was just like, what is this thing on the television right now?
And I think it's also just that it's all movies at once. Like, there's swashbucklers, but there's kind of like a, like, almost like a ninja sort of, like, they have to play mind games.
Yeah.
They have to, like, appear from nowhere. They have to swing into areas of space. My favorite scene still to this day is the rhyming scene when they're in the boat and they won't stop rhyming. And then it's be quiet now. I really mean it. Under the giant, anybody want a peanut?
Andre.
Nailed it. Andre the fucking
hell yeah.
giant. And
he has a posse.
Yes, he does have a posse. So that's it. That's just a
awesome
movie that I feel like now as adults, we should be rewatching this movie and we should be loving it. And that's the kind of stuff that we should be showing our kids if we eventually have them.
Absolutely.
Because it is garbage what kids watch. And this is a good movie. And there it is. So now is the time to give you a brief review of a dick flick. This week we chose Michael Bay's 1995 action film Bad Boys. Bad Boys is available right now on Netflix Watch Instant. So if you haven't seen it, you still have time to pause it, go watch the movie, come back, and we'll still be here talking. Or if you want to just keep listening, I swear we're going to be amusing. Even if you haven't seen this since 95 or if you've never seen it. So just so you guys know, spoilers will be ahead. Just to give you guys a little bit of background, in case you haven't seen it, Bad Boys is a buddy cop movie. Martin Lawrence and Will Smith play narcotics detectives who have made a huge heroin bust. And then that heroin is stolen from an evidence locker, and they have to get it back. Taye Leone is involved. She plays a gal who weirdly has witnessed the murder of somebody involved with this heroin theft. And then the heroine is maybe going to go to South America, which is obvious because they're selling it to somebody in a white suit.
Like that's, once the white suit showed up, I was like, he's either Colombian or he's cute. He's got the sunglasses on. Like it's Miami.
And like a weird World War II plane no reason. Because they're just like, hey, he's from South America. They don't have modern planes. Come on.
Let's toss it on the wing. Secret drug deal in the biggest airplane hangar we can find.
Exactly. Plus, do we have a plane looks like it's from the movie The Rocketeer? Did you say that while you were watching it?
When we went to that scene, I was like, here we are in the scenes of The Rocketeer.
Yeah, it is.
They just like wandered onto another set. Well, I guess this works. Is that guy busy? Get that drug lord looking guy over here.
What's your suit size, sir?
So other things about this movie that might be important. This is Michael Bay's first movie. 95, Baby Bay, getting his first movie out. Also, and this kind of, when I realized this, it did blow my mind a little bit. Martin and Fresh Prince both still on when this movie is released in 95.
Crazy.
And I don't think I realized that Fresh Prince was still on. So both of these dudes are maybe the biggest black actors on television at the time. I mean, that I can think of from the mid-90s, Will Smith, Martin Lawrence, that's two great comic actors who've been making their name in TV.
Yeah.
And then this is like one of their big roles, although they both have had other film roles behind that. This is bringing them together. So,
you couldn't tell when, like, the movie, like when Bad Boys came out, you couldn't tell, like, oh man, this is a big thing. But like after it was over and looking back, it was definitely like, even when I was watching, I was like, man, I'm watching Will Smith become a movie star right now.
Absolutely.
Both of those guys, you can just tell.
You are watching Martin Lawrence become irrelevant.
Yeah, when Martin had it. When he had it. Man, where'd it go?
Oh, Gina.
Where'd it go, Martin? Yeah. Gina. That's unbelievable how you get like that much talent before everybody else knew that it was going to blow up. And those guys, just Will Smith.
And also, I mean, just the fact that in terms of race, I mean, I was thinking about it. Two major black actors, buddy cop in an action movie. I'm trying to think if there's an earlier one than 95.
Buddy cop? No, it was Axel Foley before that. That's it.
So I mean,
and they
not with two, 48 Hours, but that's black and white.
Yeah, that was
So I mean, that's what I'm saying. Yeah. There's a lot of black guy and white guy. You know, like there's that going on. But to have two black actors and then just no mention of that being weird or anything, because it's not, but the idea that Hollywood is making that leap to bank on two black stars who both also are individual people. Like, I think that's something that was interesting about this movie, is seeing that they cast, like, because there's a kind of like an Oscar Felix type of a thing going on.
Mm-hmm.
Like, the odd couple, you know, like, one of them is neat and one of them is sloppy. And then also, one of them is working class, although he still has a nice house. And then the other one is a rich kid. Will Smith's character is a rich kid, which I was thinking in 95, that still might be an interesting thing to put in a movie, like a young black rich kid. I feel like,
especially him, it was against type of what he was doing at the time. At that point, I mean, the Fresh Prince, he's not a rich kid. It's the complete opposite.
Right. Absolutely.
And that he almost kind of plays a dick a little bit in the movie, too.
Yes, oh, for sure.
So it was interesting to see, like, all right, we're seeing Will Smith. He's going against type. Martin Lawrence is in the movie a shit ton as well.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
There's a part of the movie where he's just in it for a while. And he's not going so overboard with his Martin that we knew at the time, you know? There was a couple archetypes that get flipped on their head like that. Watching the two Latino, like, other cops. You know, there's like, there's Martin and Will Smith, and then there's the two other cops. And in buddy cop movies up to then, usually those partners always banging heads.
Yeah.
But every once in a while, these guys work together and they're Latino. And
it is interesting. Like, oh, there's then their boss is Joey Pants.
Joey Pants, yep.
But their boss is white, and then there's black cops, there's Latino cops. And what's interesting is that there also is a little bit of a, like, they work together, but there's also like a little bit of a race-based animosity between them, which is, I mean, it's very subtle, but what I was going to say is, like, fuck yeah. Like, show that. Because I think that's interesting, too. And probably true. Like, I mean, you know, like, I'm sure there's times if you're in Miami that, like, people are going to be speaking Spanish to each other. Absolutely, and if you don't know Spanish, you're going to feel like the odd man out. Like, that's...
Yeah, yeah, totally.
It seemed very interesting to me what they were subtly showing.
Taye Leone talks about being a vegetarian.
Taye Leone is a vegetarian!
In a summer blockbuster, she says she's talking about being a vegan. I was like, I don't remember this. Why the fuck is she talking about that?
Also, she has a black best friend that's not really competent at all. I mean, I just think...
It's like they flipped everything. They went, how'd they do it in the 80s? Well, it's the 90s now. Now we're going to switch places.
Yeah, absolutely.
Let's move these pieces over here. Joey Pants in the 80s would have been Axel Foley's loud sergeant, the black guy who always tells Axel, kiss my ass. Kiss my ass, Foley! He's always like, that's who Joey Pants is.
Yeah, it's wild. They also kind of like respect their white... Well, I don't know, it's just like there's a really interesting thing going on here. Also, when the... I don't think that... Like, so Martin Lawrence is married, and then his wife comes over, and there's been a weird lie for no reason about... which person is maybe interested in Taye Leone.
And Mike Lowry.
But the black wife doesn't say, like, oh, a white girl, which there was an opportunity for that to
totally.
Be in there.
Yeah, yeah.
I just think there's, like, a lot of opportunities in here for them to make this, like, a much more racist movie than it was, and they did not. So
it's almost like they just...
Hats off to them not making a racist movie.
We're not going for the cheap joke every once in a while. Like, yeah, totally.
For sure.
Absolutely. I was on board with that.
Because some of the movies that we've seen for this show that have been throwbacks or that have been rewatches, I've been like, holy shit, I can't believe that like weird gay joke got by her. Holy shit. There's also a possibility in this movie that Martin Lawrence might be gay, and Taye Leone's like fine with it.
Yeah,
so it's amazing. It's amazing. This movie is wildly not offensive. So that's interesting. Baseline interesting. Let's get on to our review of the movie. So, right now, I'm going to start with you, Ricky. What is the worst part of this movie?
I really didn't like the villain at all. What's my boy's
Good
name
call.
Here?
Random Russian
Fouché.
Guy.
His real
oh,
name
he's
is...
French, that's right.
Yeah.
Random French guy.
Oh, whatever.
His name is
random
Checky
whatever
Caro.
Guy.
Yeah, it pretty much was random international evil guy.
Yeah, totally.
And I always, especially when it's a movie that's closer to that era... I always put random international evil guy against Hans Gruber in Die Hard. You have to bring it that hard, dude. You have to fucking come on with it. And if you don't, you can't do that. This guy doesn't. Especially
he's not even scary.
He's not. And he's not as charismatic at all as Martin Lawrence and Will Smith. Like, there's just no... There was never any kind of like, yeah, I know why these guys got to get this guy... Outside of that dude killed Will Smith's friend in the that kind of like sets off all the chain
right.
of events. So he was a little disappointing.
Rhea, what about you? Worst part?
It is a tie a little bit, but I will say that my worst part is that there's like not enough action in this movie. There's way
That's
too
actually,
much
there
talking.
Really is a lot of talking.
I mean, I'm into a lot of it, but like I thought it was gonna be like some car chases and some Miami stuff, and then. Then the action that is in there, I can't even follow what's happening. Like, there were times in that hangar where we were like, that was totally shot on a different day. Like, you can't even tell where people are to each other. They're just, like, in a weird shooting gallery. And
Rhea had a great line. There's also a weird gunfight that breaks out in an apartment building, and they run through a bar to get out of the apartment building. Rhea goes like, oh, there they are just running through the bar that's in the middle of that apartment. Like, why would there be? I mean, it's in, like, the vestibule of the, like, as if there's an apartment building in Miami that has a full bar in the, I don't think that's a thing.
I don't think this apartment comes with a bar.
Miami's crazy. Miami's crazy, kids.
All right, so here's my worst part, and I think it's maybe a, I'm agreeing with you guys on this, because for me, it's story.
Sure.
This movie is like a much less awesome The Birdcage. I love the movie The Birdcage, though. That's like
just more heroin.
I know this sounds so silly, but like The Birdcage is like mistaken identity and lies and set in South Florida. Like there's weirdly, it's like a similar vibe. That movie fucking nails the shit out of an like suspense more than this action movie where there's like people being murdered and heroin on the line. I just feel like. The whole plot hinging on Taye Leone needing to be lied to about which one of them is Mike Lowry doesn't make any sense. If you are cops, you are going to follow the path of least resistance because you don't have fucking time for this.
Right.
What cop is like, all right, listen, chief, I'll do it. I'll convince a woman of an elaborate lie. Like,
that gag goes on for a lot longer than I thought it did. Like, I kept waiting for here's the scene where the wife is going to show up, and then she's going to be like, sure, all right, yeah, you're Mike Lowry. But I was like, holy shit, that's like 40 minutes.
It's like
and
the whole
still
movie.
Trying to tell her.
Less time spent on weird, wacky lying, more time spent solving police business.
Can I also add to your story comment that it makes absolutely no sense that Martin Lawrence's wife is irritated that he's out late.
Oh, yeah.
Because he is a cop.
Yeah,
you're
right.
She's
signed up for this. Yeah.
She's known this the whole time. How all of a sudden is she like, you're lying to me. You're not working. Like, he's at work.
Yeah.
He's at work as a cop.
As we were watching this, you were saying that, and I was saying to you, I wonder how many television police procedurals were on TV in 95, and I didn't actually look it up, but just because we've seen cop business so much, like, I don't know that many people that are cops. I know a couple people. I don't know that many people, but I've seen cops on TV enough to know that, yeah, no wife is ever like, I mean, okay, Heat. That wife,
yeah,
she can be pretty pissed. Because that makes sense. But no wife outside of Heat is ever like, why you didn't call me for 5 minutes?
At 3 p.m. on a Tuesday, where are
why
you?
Why are you not coming home to? Why are you not coming home right now to have sex?
Yeah, usually
I've got my outfit on. You're like, I'm at the precinct. Can you shut up about this? Like, so I agree with you. It's crazy. That poor wife.
That's just a badly.
She got a bad role.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
She got a role.
And she's great.
She got a role of nagging.
She's a really good actress. Yeah,
yeah, it probably says in the script, nagging wife.
Right.
Like, in the
wife that doesn't get your shit. It could also say that. So, Ricky, what's the best part of this movie?
As I watched it, I was like, shit. Remember when I used to like Michael Bay, Ricky? Michael Bay was fun. Bad Boys is a fun goddamn movie. Like I was saying last week about J.J. Abrams, right away from the get-go, style. My movie's going to look like this. Everything's has a very like orange kind of hue feel to it. Looks like Miami looks like Tatooine on ecstasy. You know, it's just very.
Yeah, it does.
Everybody's pretty. Everybody in this movie is pretty. Even the ugly people have like nice outfits on.
That's
true. I just really forgot. Like, oh man, there was a point where I liked Michael Bay. I was looking forward to his movies that were coming out. He just he really kills it in this. Yeah. Michael Bay.
What's your best part?
My best part is kind of similar. My best part is the costuming. That's my favorite part.
Yeah.
Because it really just reminded me of my childhood so hard because it was like all the clothes that I wanted to wear.
Yes.
But I'm like a white girl in Akron, Ohio, like trying to wear the same shit as like Will
like
Smith.
Like high-waisted pants
and then like
that
a
are baggy in the hips.
And like an unbuttoned, you know, whatever. Yep. Hawaiian shirt or something, but like Gucci or,
oh,
you know, and
God.
Then like Penny Hardaway shoes
yeah.
or the shoes that Hakeem Olajuwon used to
I
wear.
I wanted to see what year Boomerang came out with Eddie Murphy and see how many of those outfits are borrowed from Boomerang. Every time Will Smith, he shows up in like a purple like blazer.
Yeah, I know.
You're a cop, bro. Why you got a purple blazer on?
His best look is like the purple blazer and pants combo with then a sweater underneath that zips
it's got
the with
zipper?
The quarter zip.
I used to have that shit in high school.
Puts that under a blazer.
It's so good.
That's hot.
Martin Lawrence is wearing red pants. You know what matches red pants? Red vest. I love the 90s being like
leather.
The same color matches itself.
Absolutely.
Like that's such a, it was so, yeah, the costuming
like H-Town.
The costuming is awesome.
Great shoes.
You know, I think honestly, my best part is going to be, I cannot believe, I mean, I can, but this movie is very earnest. Very earnest. There's nothing, nobody is trying to pull anything over on you. How earnest is it, Cameron? I'll tell you. There's a part of this movie, which is titled Bad Boys, wherein Martin Lawrence and Will Smith sing the song Bad Boys together in the movie. They sing the refrain of a titular song in the movie, to each other while they are excited about their jobs as cops during a time when the television show Cops was also on the air, and that was the theme song. Like, that is how, that is Michael Bay.
Yeah.
That is Michael Bay just being like, you know what, let's just go for it. You know, and instead of piping that song in, just have them sing it. Put it on the radio and just have them sing it.
And what do you think of the fact that they sing Bad Boys, how you were saying earlier? It's so earnest in it being two black stars. There's a Bad Boys, the TV show Cops, that is just known for like, hey, you want to watch 30 minutes of people of color getting arrested? Now we're going to have two of the most famous colored people on TV sing that song. That's a nice little role reversal.
I think you're totally right. I also like that they like challenge each other, that they're not perfect cops, but that they have, I mean, of course it's not, I'm sure that cops do not sing Bad Boys together to each other in the car.
I don't know, because one of my best friends when I was a kid, her dad was a police officer, and he had that cassette in the tape player.
You are kidding me!
Every goddamn day. I am not kidding. So
I love the idea of a cop like throwing that on right as somebody speeds past them. Like they're marking everybody's speed, and then they're like, oh, we're getting it. Throw it on. But they have it queued up to what you gonna do? Like, they just have it queued up to that. When I come for you.
You issued your gun, you issued your badge, you issued your cassette of Bad Boys.
Weirdly,
hit the
though,
streets, boys.
With this being Bad Boys and the song being Bad Boys, and also Cops being on TV as much as it was at the time, because this is the time when like Cops is 90% of Fox's programming. It's like
absolutely.
Cops and then The Simpsons. The Simpsons only on for like a half hour, and then it's like, all right, we'll
cops.
Get you right back to Cops. Yeah. But I will say for the time frame, so 95, they hit a lot of the 95 markers. As I said, they had red pants with a red vest. They had black people being friends with each other, but from different classes. Great to see that. And but one thing they didn't have in this movie, enough arrests on the ground with a knee to the back.
Oof.
Really feel like if you're gonna call your movie Bad Boys, there need to be more tackle arrests. There need to be more perps in tank tops.
Absolutely.
Is that an LA thing? Maybe the LA version.
Don't you remember like a guy getting tackled and then they're like knee to the back? Oh, you stay there. You stay down. Stay down. Well, so on a let's we're gonna scale it out.
Okay.
In conclusion, Ricky, scale of 1 to 5 '90s midriff tops.
Ooh.
How many '90s midriff tops would you give Bad Boys?
I will, 1 to 5. I will give it. I'll give it 3.75.
All right.
Midriff tops.
All right.
Taya Leone.
Rhea, on a scale of 1 to 5, guys snorting heroin that seems like it might actually be coke.
I've seen Pulp Fiction. That seems...
There's a scene of a guy who's snorting heroin.
Straight out of the brick, that, too.
He like from a brick.
Peels it open like a Klondike
bar. I don't think that's
bar.
How you do that.
Doesn't make
I don't know.
Sense.
Anyway, 1 to 5 guys snorting heroin.
I'll give it 2.5.
Okay.
Guys right. snorting heroin.
I'm giving Bad Boys, I'm going to give it 2.75. 2.75 characters singing a titular song.
Oh.
And it's mostly just because guys, let's be honest with each other. This is a terrible movie. It's a bad movie.
It's pretty bad. I mean,
it's a bad movie, but you should definitely watch it just to remember the good times.
Fun.
Fucking 95, man.
Relive.
You know?
Yeah.
All right. Well, we are going to leave you with this. What are you guys thinking about this week? Ricky, what do you think about this week?
It's May 20th, ladies and gentlemen. In a few hours, when midnight hits, it will be May 21st. That means Daft Punk's Random Access Memories will be available. And this is, I've had the album for a week already, and it's fantastic. I think people at first, it's one of those albums in the conversations that I've had where it's going to take, people are going to be listening to it, trying to figure it out for a while and slowly catch up to it. There's a really great review on Pitchfork and on Pitchfork.
Pigs in Space.
Yeah, yeah.
Hell of a Pitchfork.
There's a really great review on Pitchfork by Mark Richardson where he really gets into the history of Daft Punk. Disco music and electronic music and what they're trying to do. that is really great and will kind of give you a background on it. Talk to that Daft Punk album, kids. It's going to make you feel right.
Rhea, what about you?
Okay, I'm thinking of a movie that's on Netflix, Watch Instant, and it's about a weird, crazy skate farm in southern Ohio. The place
Did
is
you
called
say skate farm?
Skate farm. It's like this. It's this guy named Bruce Martin. He owns, I think the documentary is called something like 88 miles of 88 acres of insanity. Excuse me.
Well, that sounds like a skate farm.
Yeah, and he's called it Skatopia, and he owns like just all this acreage, and he lives like off the grid. They have a bowl bash every year, and it's gotten bigger and bigger. But they have crazy, crazy bowls and like just cement stuff that they've built that's like over vert. And I watched this documentary because it reminds me of being from Ohio and the hicks that are in Ohio, but also skateboarding hicks. And there's a scene with Tony Hawk, because like all these pro skaters have been going there now lately, where he's like, I don't know how people are skating this. And this is like, this is Tony Hawk who can like skate. And I mean, he's getting older now, but like, that is like the dude, that is like the guy, that's Michael Jordan of skateboarding going, I have no idea how these guys are skating this.
You guys both know stuff about things that I don't know anything about. And I'm really happy about it.
So you guys should watch that. Just look up Skatopia, and it's crazy. I describe it as Gummo meets the Bones Brigade.
Those are not, I don't even
those
know what
things.
Those are.
I know those things.
Those
I'm aware
things,
of these things.
If either of those things interest you, watch
all
this.
Right.
I am not a hick from Ohio, and I know of these things.
Well, you know what I'm thinking about this week?
Ooh, please tell us.
I am thinking about, I recently found out that Battlefield Earth, in its entirety, is available on YouTube. And this is a terrible movie. This is a worse movie than Bad Boys by everything. This is one of the worst movies of all time.
Yes.
It is a John Travolta flick. It is a Scientology cover band of movies. It is trying to pass Scientology off as a movie.
Xenu and the Phaetons.
It is, what else is happening with it is that they had like a $10,000 budget or something crazy like that because they lied about their budget and then they spent a bunch of their budget on John Travolta and the other actors that are in it. So it looks, Battlestar Galactica, the television show reboot on Sci-Fi, looks like it has about 2 to 3,000% better production quality than this movie that was released as if it was going to be a major blockbuster. It is based on an L. Ron Hubbard book. I don't want you to watch the whole thing. What I want you to do is I want you to scroll through the middle. Just watch any minute and a half of this movie and then just close that window, go outside, and just think to yourself, holy shit. Sometimes bad things get made. You know what I mean? Sometimes pet projects don't turn out. Sometimes John Travolta has a long dreadlock wig. It's amazing to behold. The costuming in this, the makeup in this, just feast your eyes. Well, that said, we are off next week because we're going to be having pool parties and barbecues and other things like that. Well, Rhea, you're going to be in Cleveland for a show. When's that show in Cleveland?
One on Saturday. I think the place is called Bon Bon Cafe in Ohio City. I think it's probably around 8 p.m., maybe 7.
Okay.
Not totally sure.
Okay.
And then Monday on Memorial Day, we'll be at Redstone.
Okay.
In Cleveland.
So if you're in Ohio, you should check Rhea out there.
Do that.
We will be back first week in June. We'll be back in your jeans. We're going to back up into your jeans, and we will be back with this show the first week of June. We're going to be talking about Star Trek Into Darkness, so see it. See it before then, for God's sake. Until then, I'm Cameron Esposito.
I'm Rhea Butcher.
Ricky Carmona.
And you've been listening to Wham Bam Pow. Wham Bam Pow is recorded at Maximum Fun headquarters by Lindsay Pavlis. Thank you, Lindsay, and Maximum Fun, and thank you for listening.
MaximumFun.org.
Comedy and culture.
Artist owned.
Listener supported.